Hey everybody, Craig Smoke here with a rapid reaction podcast on Sikkim365.com. Post Air Force as Dave Aranda and the Bears dominate in the second half on their way to a 31-3 win over Air Force. And as linebacker Matt Jones put it in the post game, to paraphrase him, the Bears got their lick back from the demoralizing Armed Forces Bowl loss back in 2022. So those not hip to that lingo, although that's not even that current at this point, they got their measure of revenge for the Armed Forces Bowl a couple of years back. So if you wonder about motivation and some of the storylines like people in the media can put forth about a game and whether or not a lot of that resonates, remember when it comes to college football, and really remember this across probably most college sports, but college football in particular, we're talking about a sport where the best programs in the country, whether it be Georgia or Alabama, have head coaches talking about and somehow getting their team to believe that no one believes in them, even though they've signed 25 5-stars in the last 2 years and they are favored by 14 and they've won 3 straight national titles. Somehow Kirby Smart, even though those facts aren't exact, will somehow get his Georgia team to believe that nobody believes in them. That's this sport. So you can best believe that for some on this team and for some in this program, that Air Force loss from 2 years ago was definitely motivation. In a lot of ways, this was a must-win. This game was made even more fun, ultimately, in the end, by the second half, but also by all the accoutrements that served as background or just extra frosting on this game. You had the Mission Black Ops theme. You had the awesome flyover in the very beginning. You had the anthracite uniforms. You had the Mission Black Ops, as I mentioned, but that also meaning a blackout for the crowd. You were honoring the 1974 Southwest Conference champs, a.k.a. the Miracle on the Brazos team. It was salute to service, so the flyover and the Mission Black Ops all tied in together. It was family weekend, like you could not have put more dressing on this cake without it toppling over, right? So all of that was going on, and because of that, because of where this team sits, because of the stakes, because of the fact that you're Baylor football, you should be able to beat Air Force and you should be able to beat them at home, and you especially should be able to beat them when you are not a rebuilding team and in some ways they are still getting their feet wet. So you had to win this game, and early on it looked like disaster was brewing, but for as miserable as that was, it was all about just turning the football over. I mean, that's pretty clearly what went wrong in the first half, was they could not hang on to the football. And 3 lost fumbles is just an absolute killer. And the fact that the score was 31-3 in the end, sure, there was a missed field goal. But my gosh, you'll take that 10 times out of 10. And the odds of that happening again are not good moving forward. So you have got to hang on to the football. And that was why this game remained close early on. Other than that, I thought there were some big plays. There were some opportunities to score early. This game should have been even more of a blowout than it ultimately ended up being. But let's start with the story of this game before it even started. And that was word breaking. You saw it on Sikkim365.com. If you're like me, you got the text alerts. And if you're not signed up for them, there's a reason why you would have gotten that if you were tailgating or just hanging by the pool or whatever you might have been doing. You get that buzz. And sometimes it's really good news, like a recruit story, a commit. Sometimes it is a personnel type of situation like today, which some probably took as good news, and that was the fact that Sawyer Robertson would be getting the start as Daquan Finn was injured and would be unavailable. And I'll be honest, I just didn't focus much on the Daquan Finn injury this week. He got hurt towards the tail end last week. Clearly he was banged up, went out for a series. Sawyer came in, but then Daquan came back, unless I'm just convincing myself of otherwise, but he did, and so therefore I just didn't think too much of it. And be as transparent as possible, I think ultimately as well, there wasn't a lot of talk about it because I don't think anybody was all that concerned if he couldn't start because of what we saw the last time out. Like, yeah, throw Sawyer Robertson in there. If they had made this decision without Daquan Finn even being injured, it would have been totally understandable. So that was an interesting little buzz to get earlier in the day, and I was very much wondering what this was going to look like, and I think it looked pretty good. I think it looked a lot better than it has, it being the offense. I think it looked a lot better on Saturday than it looked through those first couple of games. Sawyer just able to make more things happen, able to hit more in the passing game, able to get playmakers involved in that way, and just more of a threat. And then, you know, you have an opportunity to run the football with him, and he finds his way into the end zone eventually in that game as well, which he's done previously in his Baylor career. So he's able to hit you with that also. And a little bit of everything was on display tonight for him. He performed really well, and I know Dave Aranda was quite proud in the post game. You know, in talking about the situation, he mentioned Daquan's injury and that it was a day-to-day thing, and eventually got to late in the week where they had to make a decision, and partly because of Daquan's health, and I'd imagine partly just because, hey, why not? They put Sawyer in there, and I think he made a very strong case for being the starter until he loses that job now moving forward. So we'll see what Dave Aranda has to say on Monday about the latest on Daquan Finn's health, but this is Sawyer Robertson's team now and moving forward until it isn't, in my mind. And I don't know how you could go a different direction because of just the confidence level of coming out of that game, hanging 25 points and a shutout on defense in the second half. There was a lot of really good mojo and positivity following that game, even though you can't celebrate too much. Let's not get crazy here. You're 2-1. There's a long way to go, but there was good positive energy at the end of that game, and that has not been the case like that, at least in a really long time, and especially at McLean Stadium. So that was enjoyable, but Sawyer Robertson was terrific. So can't wait to see more of this, and just hope he's able to, you know, keep adding on. But thought he was really, really solid. Bryson Washington being back from injury, I mentioned in an article earlier this week that I was really looking forward to seeing him in the mix, and he did not disappoint. 100-yard game, the first of his career for the redshirt freshman. Had the big touchdown run as well. Obviously, fumbles were an issue. He had one of those. He got smacked pretty good and dropped the football. And he mentioned the post game how bothered he was by that. But he was able to get some redemption. And as far as his touchdown goes, he did say that all he thought about when he was crossing the goal line was his late father, who passed away when he was 3 years old. So that was what was on his mind. Along with, he had like a little comedic follow-up, along with the fact that he was just really tired as well, because he had not had that type of work in a really, really long time in a live game like that. So really touching, cool deal, or a little note about that touchdown run specifically, but really encouraging to see that from him. They ran for 230 overall. We saw a good bit of Dominic Richardson. Richard Reese obviously eventually popped a run. That was awesome to see for him as well. And I think that was something that eventually opened up a little bit because you were able to do things elsewhere. There's still some issues, like the 4th-and-1 call. I don't know why they rushed that, and I don't know why it was, you know, going with one of your smaller backs or your smaller option there. But beyond that, looking past that, that was a nice game for the rushing attack, which is taking a lot of flack, but it's certainly nowhere close to being where they need to be to have grander aspirations right now. Josh Cameron, Ashton Hawkins, they were the leading receivers. Hawkins 4 for 81, Cameron 5 for 63, Trigg 4 for 49, Sawyer throws for 248 overall. Hit some big plays in the passing game and just couldn't necessarily pop them all. And that's what led to some of the frustrations, because you get dragged down and then you've got great field position and boom, fumble. But that was an encouraging game as well to see some of the receivers with the ball in their hands able to make some plays. But you got to protect the football. I mean, 4 fumbles, 3 of them lost. That's just not going to cut it. Trigg, Pendergrass, and Bryson Washington all putting it on the carpet. That's just not going to get it done. So that is a negative you take away from this game, certainly. But outside of that, a really fun night for the offense, a productive night, and one that they can certainly build upon, but not getting too crazy here. Defense did their job in terms of limiting the points. I mean, 3 points overall. There was a missed field goal, but you got some big stops and you kept your team in this football game when the offense wasn't doing its part. I mean, it was 3-0 after the first quarter, and then you had the field goal right before half, so it's 6-3. And I know some people were getting down on the defense, but it's like, do you understand how long they've been out on the field? I mean, they've been out here for nearly the entire time. So yeah, they're tired, and yeah, they're not going to continue to get stops when they're just being leaned on by this Air Force team. So they did a great job, I thought, in limiting the damage overall. Matt Jones led the way with 11 tackles, but Devin Bobby and Keaton Thomas and Garmin Randolph, a lot of guys up there with him, getting active and getting involved. And so that was really good to see. 4 tackles for loss on the night for the Bears, although no sacks. But you obviously had Air Force running the football a lot. So that was an encouraging sign from the defense. Gave up just 3.4 yards per rush, 56 carries for the Falcons, 193 yards. So I think you'll take that. Even though you would have liked to have gotten off the field, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of opportunities to get off the field, but again, I just think that's part credit to Air Force. Yeah, there's areas for Baylor's defense to improve, but I also think a lot of that, especially as time went on, was just being worn the heck out. Ultimately, offense starts to put some drives together and score some points, and look at that, you post a shutout in the second half. So that was great, and special teams made it really a all-around complimentary football effort. Because Isaiah Hankins did his thing, had the one miss, but hit some long field goals, was 3 for 4. You obviously had the huge special teams play early in the game that you weren't able to fully capitalize on, and Hankins would have to kick the field goal, but the block punt was a big, big play early in that game, and the crowd was ready to really explode, but they obviously turned the ball over right after that. But that was a huge play in special teams, so just kind of highlighting the hits here. I'll go more in depth because I've obviously got a lot to write, Good, Bad, and the Ugly, and various other articles this week, and I'll dive further into some of the details, but just kind of generalizing everything. Sawyer Robertson, he's the starting quarterback now in my mind, and brought a really fresh coat of paint to that offense. Bryson Washington, keep it up, young man. That was awesome to see, but also awesome to see others feed off that, and just how that the entire team fed off what those two guys in particular were able to contribute tonight, but a lot of others involved in making this a really fun game by the time it was all said and done. That was bad news at halftime, folks, and you know if you were there, but when they came out and played clean football and just and quite simply just bottom line held on to the football, good things followed in the third and fourth quarters. So that was really a fun night overall. I didn't know that I'd be saying that necessarily, but it was a great night, I think, for a lot of people, from players on this team to just the fans being able to have all of that stuff going on and be able to celebrate so many fun, positive things and obviously celebrate this team as well, getting a win that you didn't necessarily know that they would be able to get, or at least you had a little seed of doubt, but they are now 2-1 and we'll head on over to Boulder, Colorado for a very interesting matchup against Dion and the Buffaloes. We'll have plenty to talk about and write about when it comes to that over the following few days. And that will be a real challenge. And I feel pretty confident in saying that there's not a lot of people that really know that much about Baylor because they're not the most entertaining or fun team in the world right now. Whereas with Colorado, everybody knows about them because of their head coach, because of their quarterback and their dual threat corner wide receiver and Travis Hunter. They get talked about and they get the microscope treatment a lot. I think people just kind of see Baylor struggling and just will be dismissive of their opportunity to roll into Boulder to win this game. And I don't agree with that. I absolutely, and I've watched a lot of Colorado, think they can win this game if they play the way they played in the second half, for the most part. If they play complimentary football, they can go to Boulder and win. But we'll see how the next few days go. And until then, we'll have fun talking about a 31-3 win and the Bears getting their lick back, to paraphrase Matt Jones, for the Armed Forces Bowl a couple years back. They're now 2-1. It's on to what should be maybe it might be the only matchup against Dion ever. We shall see how that goes in the long run, but certainly a matchup with some microscope on it because of the Dion Shador Travis Hunter angle here. But I think that should bode well for the Bears. You should play loose. You should play free. I don't think many people are going to pick you. And I think you've got a lot of confidence coming out of this last game. But we shall see. You never know. It's a week-to-week thing in college football. But this week was pretty good. And stay tuned. I'll have a lot more thoughts on this game and Colorado and much more coming up in my articles throughout the week, starting with the Good, the Bad, the Ugly on Monday morning on Sikkim365.com. Appreciate everybody for listening to this. And we'll talk to you next week. This has been the Rapid Reaction Podcast, and I'm Craig Smoke on Sikkim365.